News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Sean in for Dalton this morning at 8:07 on Mobile Mornings. Been quite a morning so far, Sean. We've got a lot to talk. You know, we have plenty. We're going to talk with Rob Hulbert with Lagniappe Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Hamrick, who is a frequent guest of yours in your midday show, has done two very, very excellent comprehensive reports. One about with the situation in Pritchard, where he's missed the latest two situations.
Because well, you would have there. To update it every 35 minutes.
It's that way, right? And also the a really, really good report as well on the massive data center going up in Calvert.
The Calvert one.
Yeah.
Hey, but, and let me, you know, so Kyle will be on today. He's on Thursdays on Midday Mobile. But let me also talk about what happens at noon today. Mayor Jerry Gattis is going to be on. So that's from noon to 1. So your chance to ask questions and stuff. The mayor will be my guest from noon to 1 today. And then tomorrow, former mayor Sandy Stimson will be on noon to 1 tomorrow's show. So today.
To critique the current mayor?
I should say, okay, he said this. What would you have done? You make the call.
Yeah. What would you do about these dogs?
Yes. What about these breeds? But so, yeah, so today, Mayor Jerry Gattis, and then tomorrow, former Mayor Stimson on Midday Mobile, both at noon.
Think about the many, many years that Stimson was on your show mm-hmm. and representing the city of Mobile.
He's always great.
At, beginning at 12 or 13, somewhere back there.
Yeah. He was early on. He was good. And it's, you know, going to be the same thing with Mayor Jerry Gattis. It's good to have mayors that'll come on and talk in this format, right?
Just
instead of being a news clip, I mean, you know, 30-second clip, they can sit down and explain things. So I appreciate that.
Way better. Way better, right? Okay, let's go over the I was fascinated by all things Fauci yesterday. So we're waiting on this. We know something's going to come to a head. We don't know exactly the way it's going to present itself. I don't know if Rand Paul did himself any favors or had anything to do with any of this Fauci strategy to plead the fifth 111 times and not answer a single question. And you've got a time machine clip that is going to leave us going, wow, interesting, what Fauci said back in the day when he was answering questions of an interviewer on CNN. So anyway, I don't think Rand Paul and his people were ready for this, but Fauci does what he does. So this is his preamble. This is his opening statement. So Paul kind of goes after him in his opening statement. Fauci replies, this is when it starts to become pretty obvious where we're going with all this.
Any reasonable person who has followed his unhinged obsession with me would readily come to the same conclusion. Therefore, although it pains me to do so, because of the respect I have for the legislative branch of government and my decades-long record of cooperating with Congress, under the advice of my attorneys, I will invoke my right under the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution to refrain from answering your questions. Thank you.
So, you know, did we quite know at that moment that the jig was up? Like, this is all we're going to get all morning, all day long? And kind of thought, well, is this what he's going to do? And that's what he did. So no matter the question, no matter the way it was pointed or and certainly Paul was very accusatory in the manner of the questions.
I'll say Rand Paul has been the one that stayed on this, dog on a bone on this thing.
First one and now the last one, and very frustrated with the tactics of Fauci yesterday. Then Fauci's one of his seven lawyers that were there. This gentleman is seated at the table with Fauci, which they asked him not to do. They asked him to be seated behind the witness. Anyway, he wants to make some statements, but he's simply not recognized to do that. So they keep his mic turned down. he goes on talking, and then Rand Paul finally has had enough of that.
Look, this is the way Anthony Fauci wants to be remembered, for a lawyer not listening to the rules. That's the way you want to be remembered, and that's what you're going to do. You are not recognized, sir. Security, please remove him from the room.
There you go. Also, then, I thought a really interesting voice when he told a story from his home state in Ohio, Senator Bernie Moreno. He was talking to Fauci, and the gloves were really off. He talked about the fact that he ran for the United States Senate, sold his businesses, and ran for the United States Senate over his frustration with the COVID pandemic and Anthony Fauci and the national, what's that organization he's with? National Health Institute, I guess.
NIH,
and,
yeah.
So that's the reason he's in the Senate right now. Pretty remarkable. So you would think he would have something to say, and he did. He talked about this family in Ohio that they were all arrested because they went to a football game. They weren't wearing a mask, and he blames Fauci for the most part. He says, "I know you weren't the one that imposed all these closures nationwide, but you were the one that set the tone. You were the one that gave people cover to do that." In fact, Fauci evidently was bragging shortly after New York City shut down their school system, saying that he was the one who recommended that. Anyway, here's Moreno, very impassioned.
"Here I am sitting in front of you 6 years later saying, who the f*** do you think you were for doing that? It is a total disgrace what you did to this country. And if my Democrat colleagues are standing there defending you, I hope the voters of the United States of America watch the clips of every one of you doting on a guy who was more interested in being a celebrity than saving American people."
I thought he was one of the most powerful voices yesterday with Moreno. And then in the end, you could tell that Rand Paul was frustrated. And since now they're considering contempt charges.
"Because you refused to answer, citing a privilege that is unsupported because of your pardon, and after being denied to do so, this committee has scheduled a vote next week on a resolution certifying your contempt." I think we have another question or two from Senator Langford.
So there you go. Not much was accomplished. Would Fauci, do you think, doing what he did, do you think, are there any people who have been on Fauci's side that you think, is it such a partisan thing that people are either going to, they're either in Fauci's camp or not?
Yeah, I don't know. We've gotten to a place that I find frustrating in the country where people have to support something one way or another because of the affiliation with the party.
That's right.
But remember, I would point this out, Fauci was working while Trump was in the White House.
Yep.
And then Biden brings him in, then Biden gives him the pardon and all that. I think we just need to look at what he did. And it's interesting, too. You know, somebody had asked yesterday, well, how do we know all this stuff? How, you know, if you would pull down that lever for the production computer pot, there you go, that people say, well, how do we know all this? Okay, we've been talking about the level of hubris here. So he's keeping a diary, which we've all made fun of, and Cameron Smith and I, you know, I know that my English teachers when I was a kid, like, they gave us composition books and said, you keep a diary and it'll build, you know, whatever brain power. And we were all like slobbering idiots. Put a diary in, and write stuff about your buddy and then have an airplane flying by or something.
Yeah.
But with when these people have these diaries, what they're doing is they're keeping notes for a manuscript. They feel so that people are going to really want to hear what they had to say.
True.
From back then. So they keep these notes. But people say, how did they get the diaries? How'd they get this information? Somebody was asking yesterday. Well, you know that, here's hubris, he had them on HHS servers.
Mm.
He had uploaded it to the server for HHS. So you've got RFK Jr. comes in, now over HHS, and I guess he's just scanning what documents he's got. Mm-hmm. I don't know how somebody probably tipped him off to it. He gets the diary as it was posted on the government server.
I didn't realize that.
So Fauci had put it on the server, and it was still there. So that's how all this came out. So RFK Jr. gets it, turns it over to the White House, and to Rand Paul, and that's what we have here. Now, will he, so many of us would like to see him frog marched. Don't think it's going to happen, because if they had a chance at that in the past, they would have gone with it.
Mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if there was something to arrest him on or do something, the Trump administration would have done that already. I think this is in place of, hey, we can't, I don't really have a charge, but we'll bring him in front of Congress for, you know, to extract our pound of flesh or whatever from him. So
this is a clip that you found.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is, so here's Fauci, and this is from, well, this is during the, he's during Trump's first term, and Fauci talking about, no, this is early in Biden, and he's talking about, would he, you know, what about the development of the vaccines? What about the virus? All this stuff. Would he talk to Congress about this? So this is from an interview he had done with CNN back then. So remember what Fauci did yesterday, right? Fauci did plead the fifth 111 times. He did not talking to anybody, not answering. But beforehand, he said this in an interview.
Well, if I become a punching bag, I'm a punching bag. But I am very happy to testify before any congressional oversight committee. I have nothing to hide. I can explain and validate everything that I've done. So, you know, it's going to be inconvenient if they actually are out there essentially threatening to make my life miserable. But I'm going to do what I need to do, and that is cooperate fully, because we have nothing to hide at all.
So that's exactly what he did not do.
Exactly.
And so, and he started his statement was talking about how they were making him feel threatened
But he would testify. He has nothing to hide.
But he would testify, even though it was going to be inconvenient, whatever he's trying to say there. But instead, he starts everything off with his opening statement all about how this guy is after me. And he's been after me. And anybody that's paid attention at all can see it's personal. He's going to do anything to take me down.
How is it personal?
Therefore, I'm not going to say a thing.
Okay. It'd be personal if it, now, is Rand Paul the spearhead? Absolutely. Somebody needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But personal would mean it's just Senator Rand Paul that's got a problem with him.
Well, he didn't say personal necessarily. But he stated it in a way like this is more than a guy wanting some evidence. This is somebody who's going to do anything he can. And so anything that I say that could be used against me, it will be. Therefore, I'm simply protecting myself.
Yeah, but in that clip before, he said, you know, how he good to go. He can defend anything that was done.
Yeah. That was maybe 5 years ago on CNN. He felt comfortable. He felt Trump's out of the way now. He probably felt confident and okay at that moment, but he didn't look confident yesterday. And I just don't know, again, how this is playing out and if it's swaying any opinions that were otherwise maybe moderately behind Fauci, like, wow, they're just after the guy. But when you saw that performance yesterday...
Well, you look at the stuff in his diary and you compare...
Yeah.
And at time, I mean, if I could just take clips of what he has said in the past, and then take clips of what he said in the diary, and they're contrary.
Yes.
He's saying one thing to the people, and personally, he's, you know, I mean, it's like the lab leak theory. He's out there saying it's poppycock, and then in his diary, he's like, yeah, it might have come from there.
Yeah. Right? That's pretty pretty damning. And the world, certainly our nation, turned completely upside down by all things COVID-19. And what hand did Fauci and NIH play in all of that? Seems like a pretty large hand. 821, Dan and Sean is in for Dalton this morning. FM Talk 106.5, back after this.
Have a traffic tip or your own take on the news? Text the guys at 251-343-0106 on Mobile Mornings.
Dan Brennan and Sean Sullivan in for Dalton Orwood this morning, 825. We're going to text line a little bit right now to the phone line.
Yeah, 251-343-0106. And up first, Ricky. Hey, Ricky.
What's going on, Sean? I can't believe the Lord has answered my prayer and finally exposing this for what it was. My son took one of those shots and they lost his mind. His wife took four of them and she got... her immune system completely shut down. And they both lost their mind. My son's in Alta Point right now, and I can't get the judge or nobody to listen to me about that shot. I can't get nobody to find out why my son's walking around with his mind gone.
You had told us before he had health impacts, didn't you? Did mental and then physical, didn't you say?
Yeah. I mean, he lost his wife. Got and it killed her immune system, and she started losing her mind. He lost his mind. They didn't know. He didn't know what was going on. He come over to explain it to me, and his mind just left him. I mean, he told he would walk around downtown. But I finally got off the point to pick him up. But he was a first class marine electrician for 14 years, and now he's an off the point, and I can't get the judge or nobody to listen to me to test him for the damage that was done to him.
Well, you know, the problem is that there's nothing you can do about it. If we remember, you know, when we talked about all this, one of the issues I had was, hey, y'all are looking at a vaccine, but you're now giving protection to the companies making it. Yep. They can't be sued.
That's right.
Remember that with the Operation Warp Speed?
Yeah, I remember the $2.3 trillion that we gave for this. It shut down all of our businesses. That's why God got me to call y'all and warn everybody, because I knew what was going on. He was telling me, the Lord, the Holy Spirit was telling me everything. You know how on top of it I was?
Yep.
But we got to wake up to this flu epidemic. The medical industry is corrupt. Everything is corrupt. Our police department, Pritchard, everything is going corrupt. If we don't get a grip on it, we're going to get took out by God, because we have turned from our God, and we have turned to the money. The love of money is the root of all evil, and it's destroying us, and we're just being wiped out by corruption.
Where's your daughter-in-law now, Ricky?
I don't know. I can't. She won't talk to me. She was a woman from Chile. She come over here on a visa. They got married. They had a wonderful marriage. Everything was perfect until she took 4 shots. It killed her immune system. I forget what that Marlboro, whatever. She's literally dying from it, and his mind is gone. I mean, it's like it whacked him, and now he can't even answer questions like me and you were talking. He can't figure out what's going on with him.
When did he have the shot?
And right there at 21, I think. Right, I can't remember exactly. Right when they first come out, and they were pressing hard. Bradley come home telling me, man, they're going to make me take them shots, or I'm going to lose my job. And I told him, don't take the shots. Don't take them.
We got to run into the news here in a moment, but Ricky, when did the illness begin to show itself?
Right after the shots. Right after she took the shots. She started getting sick, and I like to say I lost contact with her. I don't even know how she's doing now. But he's in the altar point right now, and I witnessed the probate court, everybody. I tried to get power of attorney over him so I could get him diagnosed rightly. He's been damaged. He ain't going through depression or something like that. He's been damaged. His brain is damaged. And it ain't depression or losing his wife and all that as much. I mean, that was bad,
it's
but
like a physical
really
damage.
Something. It's physical damage.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't get no doctor. I've been to everything with him, and everybody wants to blame it on something else besides COVID. They don't want to blame COVID. Anything but blaming COVID. And they're still giving out that killer shots at the hospitals and at the urgent care, and they're still testing you with that COVID test to stick that thing in your nose all the way to the back of your brain. That was created by the Rothschilds in 2015. They had a patent on it in 2015.
We got to go, but they had a patent on the long Q-tips?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rothschilds.
There it is. That's how they made their money. I did not know.
8:30. We're going to leave it alone. Y'all figure it out for yourself. We're going to talk with Rob Holbert with Lanyap. Maybe we will find a conversation a little more appeasing on the way.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Good morning from Dan and Sean in for Dalton this morning. You don't want to know what Rob Holbert had to say about that when I hit him with that news. As we gave him a ring, because it's time to talk with Rob right now from Lanyap Mobile. Good morning, Rob.
I mean, it's a little disappointing, but that's okay. I guess Dalton has to have his time off.
Well, what you said was, I said, Sean's in for Dalton this morning. You said, well, that sucks. I was like, well, here go the rivals at each other's throat again. Should be fun.
That's right.
Go ahead, Holbert. What?
No, that's Sean to me. Yeah, we're always at each other's throats.
Yeah. you know what? I thought this is a good way to frame it because your op-ed this week in Dan the Torpedo is a tale of two counties. I thought about this. You know, I think I was told this early on because I used to ask, I was like, why are these people called crazy and those people are eccentric? And, you know, first of all, mother would say, hush. But then told me, like, if you're poor and you're crazy, if you're wealthy, you're eccentric.
Yes.
Well,
right.
You look at the corruption questions and stories between Pritchard and Orange Beach, you could say corruption for Pritchard and what? Malfeasance for Orange Beach. I mean, what is the equivalent? Yeah, there's got to be an equivalent because one's
shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Yes. I don't know. Yes, it is. That's the
cleaned up version of the same thing, kind of sort of.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big part of it. That's what, you know, what I was writing about is that, you know, you look at the reaction in the two cities. And, I mean, you know, obviously one is very poor, one has got some serious financial issues, the other one is stacking money up in the corner. But they both have serious corruption issues going on, and you know, in Baldwin, almost nothing is happening. You know, we've got an ethics complaint. We're going to wait to see what happens with the ethics commission, what they decide to do, and then we'll decide whether we're going to investigate it or not. Or, and then in, you know, Mobile County, it's, you've got the sheriff and you've got the DA and even the FBI involved in Pritchard. And so it's like, I mean, is one tremendously worse than the other? I mean, somebody may.
I would argue it is.
Say, oh, there's.
I would argue Pritchard
is worse.
You would
argue it is.
Yeah, I would argue Pritchard is worse. I'm not blind to being, you know, the tale of two cities here. But yeah, in the Pritchard situation, I see that there's been the allegations here, and people are innocent until proven guilty, of some pretty violent things. Like, you know, somebody was pushing back on me the other day talking about Chief Knight, Walter Knight. And I said, they said, well, he's only accused of, like, you know, the double dipping. I said, honestly, that's not. Is that illegal? Yes. Do I think that's a big deal? No. I think he was arrested because how could all these other allegations go on in that police department of some, not just malfeasance, we're talking about violence, we're talking about moving drugs. I mean, these are allegations at this point, all these things.
Sure.
And you're the chief, and you don't know about it? Come on. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, if all this stuff's going on, even if you didn't do it, man, you are in charge.
I would agree with that, but I would also say if you look at Orange Beach, there's allegations of violence occurring on city property. There's allegations of destruction of evidence. There is police manipulation of police reports. There is, there's all this kind of stuff going on. There's misuse of public office in terms of using public property for your own weekend getaways. Misuse of boats, having cops drive you around while you're drinking. There's all sorts of things that are going on over there. I mean, maybe it's a little bit worse. I don't know. I mean, we haven't. Also, nobody's really stuck their nose inside the police department over there. I mean, they've manipulated a number of things, manipulated records that they hid from the city council. Yes, maybe one of them seems more, I guess we would just say the term street crime.
Yeah, and
I think that's what it is. It's, you know, it's a lower class of crime, I guess, if you consider it punching, you know, allegations of punching a woman in the face while standing on a balcony naked are high class, I guess.
But it's pretty redneck allegations. But at the same time, I guess, where I come from, and I'm not discounting Orange Beach at all, but saying leading up to this, the number of times I'd had the sheriff on, and he and I had talked about when they started doing assistance and work in Pritchard,
sure.
He said some of these things on there, some of these things were off there, but I don't think it's, you know, private. I think I can say it. He would relate to me phone calls that he got from people who lived in Pritchard who were scared to come out of their house, talking about somebody who had been shot and the body laying there on the corner for an hour, you know, whatever, all this time. Or, I mean, just like, I don't know, the citizens, once again, illegal is illegal, but the citizens of Orange Beach, I didn't have the stories of they're scared to come out of their house. Like, I think they're both bad.
No,
but I think that's probably why I lean on the Pritchard thing more, because I heard those stories of people that were like, these people were calling the sheriff's office going, we can't leave our house. We're like, We're frightened. We're prisoners in our own home to get out. These guys are surrounded the houses. You know, that's
incredible.
Scary, man.
Incredible, yeah.
I would agree that there's a societal meltdown in Pritchard. There's no question. I mean, and that is because a lack of money. There's no money. I think when you look at Orange Beach, sure, there's plenty of money. You know, are there allegations of violence that have not been in the paper? Yeah, I've had plenty of people call me and tell me things that have occurred. I've written stories about past allegations of violence and past episodes of violence where I've interviewed the people involved. I'm not saying it's the same thing. I don't think people are terrified to go outside.
Right.
But it is. I mean, I'm just saying there's not. It's not good over there. There are some issues there, and I think, you know, if it were handled properly, if law enforcement, if the district attorney was as interested over there as the district attorney is over here, you probably would see more things come out about it, and you may find that there's a lot of other issues that would be uncovered, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I have.
You're sighing, Dan.
I really feel bad for the residents of Pritchard. I feel bad that the people who have done not a damn thing wrong and are surrounded by leadership that is corrupt and or.
Even before their day in court, say they have failed at the job of running the police department.
Sure. Yeah. No doubt. And it was doomed to fail because of the salaries and the hiring practice, and it's all everybody else's people.
It's the bad news bears of policing.
Right.
I mean, it's the people who couldn't get, you know, I've said it on Midday Show, but I said to Dan this morning, I said, think about this. When we went through how many years of police departments, like, understaffed? Look, we're trying to hire, and the national, you know, feeling about policing, people weren't taking that job, and they were begging for. These officers couldn't get on those places then.
Right.
That paid more money. Does that tell you something that these people couldn't get on with any other department?
It was a recipe for this kind of disastrous result.
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, having covered police departments in my life, and, you know, when you go to a police department that is well-funded and run by someone at the top who is professional, you see all that trickle down.
Yep.
And when you go to a police department that is poorly funded and run by someone who doesn't know what they're doing or isn't a top-quality candidate, you get the same result. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it is the organization takes on the mm-hmm. you know, takes on the personality of the person in charge, and you get what you get. And that's, you know, I mean, I agree with that completely. There's no doubt that it's, you know, it's a prettier mess in Orange Beach. It's a prettier mess, but it's still a mess. And it's, I mean, I think it's still something that I think the district attorney ought to not sit around and wait for the Ethics Commission, which hasn't done anything in years and is run by someone who has their own ethical problems.
Right.
Once again, the person at the top, you get what you get. And, you know, so we're going to wait for something, for a commission that, you know, ethics commission that has really almost no moral authority at this point to come down and tell you whether you should do something or not when you know you should. And, you know, that's just, I would imagine if it was Pritchard over in Baldwin County, they'd be jumping all over it.
Okay. I also want to get to this data center thing because
nobody's talking about that.
Kyle's done such
what's a data center?
I know.
There's some controversy over this.
And you know, I'll be honest with
you're
if
kidding.
You put me on Jeopardy and what's a data center, I don't know the answer actually, but anyway.
I got some podcasts for you from the Midday Mobile Show. Go listen to them, Dan.
Thank you. I will. So you've got really a great report by Kyle Hammer kind of breaking this all down. What I find interesting in this that basically citizens are assured that data centers will transform Mobile County. They marched them out or these people were ready to do the talking, but they're all in the article. Donnie Cunningham, executive director with South Alabama Utilities, he talked favorably about the data center. Alabama Power Mobile Division Manager Aaron Delaporte, he talked favorably about the data centers.
Sure.
David Rogers, Mobile Chamber of Commerce, who I think he may be about to become the chamber president, I guess he's next in line. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but He's perched there. Anyway, he is speaking very favorably about the data centers in a way that he's throwing out the numbers out there that are amazing. Roger said the county can expect to receive $49 million and the Mobile County Public School System can expect $50 million in taxes every year, $200 million over...
It's 20 years.
No, not $200 million, but a massive amount that would build 8 bridges and bayways. And that's the way he put it. It would build it 7 times over, and money left over
center,
for an eighth.
Yeah.
If you've got that money over 20 years, that's staggering. And so again, they're all speaking favorably. So I guess it's coming one way or the other, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like it is. I don't really know where I personally stand on data centers other than this.
Well, listen to Midday really Mobile. Sean's got all the answers.
I would love to know, before we go breakneck into all of this, what are our capacities? You know, and that's, to me, would be the thing that's lined out. You know, to say, okay, what are the capacities? What are the, you know, what is the sound? What is the noise that it creates? What is the water usage capacity that we have? But I think, you know, the biggest issue is, what's the electrical capacity? What does it do if you have 2 of these? What if you have 10 of them? What if you have 30 of them?
Yeah.
What, you know,
that's what I'm stuck on, too.
The thing I would like to see that part, you know, it lined out ahead of time rather than let's get in here and make as many as we can. And, you know, I also just think we need to look at what down the road, what is, you know, what is this going to be?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anybody's ever going to put AI genie back in the bottle, but you know, when you have seen Uber and Walmart were charged full price, you know, full fees for their AI usage, they quickly cut back because they blew through their entire year's worth of budget in a first quarter, because AI is actually expensive. I mean, will it become cheaper? I don't know.
Those are all things
we don't know.
Yeah, and it probably will. And also the footprint of data centers, when quantum computing comes in, will shrink, right? Like anything, it'll get smaller. But the one you said, so I have, like I told the audience, I am really, there was no preconceived. I'm like you. I looked at this and I said, okay, because it'd be easy for me just to take a populist bent and do all this stuff, but that's not how I am. I try to logically go through things. The questions that have been answered to me is the noise situation, or, you know, what would be there in discussions we've had. And the water, hearing the folks from, and this is specific to Calvert, South Alabama Utilities, talking about what the water usage would be. I know that they're saying that the power rates won't increase, but I think the get here is they're working off that cap that came out of that baloney PSC deal, and knowing that they're capped through 2029. So I could tell you a lie by telling you the truth, right? Like, no, they won't go up, meaning they're capped until 2029.
Right.
That's the thing I would want to see. And I'm still not, I've not seen anything that is like a letter from power companies that would service, you know, in this case, Alabama Power, but there's different companies that says, we will not raise unit rates based on the consumption to a data center. I want to see that signed. We guarantee this. Get a dang, what do you, kid, the people put the stamps on it?
Get a notary on it.
Notary, that's right. And notarized and posted. I'm waiting for that.
It's your stamp on it.
Yeah, if I see that, then I'll feel better about it. That's the one thing that still hangs out to me, and the way we've been abused with power rates anyway, but I want to know, guaranteed, that the additional, whether it be infrastructure or just use of power, is not going to increase my power bill. And if so, then, you know, I mean, if you're putting them in areas where we're making steel and chemicals and all that kind of stuff anyways, then, you know, what do we care?
Also, are the two things related? Alabama Power doing this 2-year freeze and making sure we're aware of it because it's in all their TV ads. So they're not doing it just to be good stewards. They're promoting it, like, look at us, look what we've done. And now with this data center are they related?
I don't know that they have addressed that, right? I mean, that's my question. Yeah. That they're saying, like in the stories, like how they're not going to raise. Well, is that because they're capped at 2029?
Yeah.
That's the issue. Is okay. Let's just look historically what's been going on. How many rate increases have we had in the last 6 or 7 years?
All of them.
I mean, it's been eight or nine of them at least, and. almost all of those were, you know, we were told, oh, well, there's expense of fuel has gone up, capacity issues, all those things. So suddenly that issue is not a problem anymore. If we're going to add these massive power sucks that are going to come in and they're going to use tons of power, but there's not a capacity issue. That is, again, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have them. I'm just saying we don't know what the capacity is.
No.
We're told these different things all the time. Before data centers were the rage, you know, we were told, well, we need rate increases because of X, Y, Z. We need to have all, I mean, if people want to believe that Alabama Power is not going to raise your rates again the second that moratorium is over.
January 1st, 2030. Yeah.
You know, I mean, they have raised rates over and over and over again. I lost count a while back, but it has been a nonstop issue, and it's one of the reasons we have the most expensive power in the entire Southeast. And right. So, you know, to say that whatever those issues that were there before that were creating these rate increases over and over again are now gone, even though we're going to add something that takes way more electricity, I would like to know how that works.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, somebody explain the magic to me.
Rob, let everybody know how they can get Lanyap online.
All right, go to lanyapmobile.com, get signed up. It's just $1 for the first month, and it's just $9 a month. After that, it's 30 cents a day, folks. We're breaking news all day long.
Thank you, Rob. Your man.
Hey, thanks, Rob. That did suck.
Rob over at Lanyap with Dan and Sean.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect mostly sunny skies today with afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the mid-90s. Tonight, a few evening showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And then tomorrow, partly cloudy with mainly afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Sean in for Dalton this morning. Why do so many people say we dig the pig? Why do they do that, Sean? Why are they saying we dig the pig?
Well, I know. I dig it when I go in there. Because two things. I get groceries. I get the craft beers I'm looking for. Yep, and I get the hot bar thing.
Yeah, the hot bar.
I hit that, like, that right corner of the one here at University. That's my zone. I do end up going having to get like the not fun stuff.
Yeah, like it's like down the right field line at a baseball game.
Like you go in there, all that stuff is like right
go
there.
Go to the right.
Yes.
And you're in Sean's wheelhouse
for sure. That's right.
And there's all kinds of stuff. The Piggly Wiggly. This is the one on University. Now, I've been to all of them, including Georgetown.
What's up, Georgetown?
Shout out Georgetown. And I love that place. And also the one up in Mount Vernon. Had the best time visiting those folks up there. Because we have our America 250 Showcase Grand Prize that you can win if you go to any of these Piggly Wigglies. It's worth over $4,600. Now, the one here at University has got Neiman's International Food. They've got Boom's Thai Kitchen. There's Three George's Southern Chocolate. So they've got kiosks and other entities there that are all part of it. It's friendly people. You're going to love the product. You're going to love the savings. That's the family pack of fresh sirloin and pork chops, $1.69 a pound. You're going to dig the pig, and you're going to save at Piggly Wiggly. Got to wrap it up now, Sean. It's been a lot of fun, I guess. Is that what you would call what we did today? Was it fun?
It is fun. I mean, you know what? We're lucky enough, and the good thing is we both worked jobs outside and hard jobs like that, but to be able to do this when it's a heat index 114, it's fun. This is good. I've
very fortunate.
Yes.
For sure. It's 8:58 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and we have got news straight ahead.